There was a little boy who was determined that he would get the Christmas present he really wanted. So to make sure it arrived from the North Pole to under his family's Christmas tree, he started praying by his bed a whole week before the big day. He began, "Dear Jesus, I've been good all year, so don't worry about Daddy's Spurs season tickets or Mummy's Fitbit. No, just please make sure Santa brings me that new Xbox I asked for." But he stopped because he knew it wasn't true. He knew he hadn't been good all year, so he began again. "Dear Jesus, I've been good all week, so please make Santa..." Well, but he had to stop again because that wasn't true either. So again, "Dear Jesus, I've been good all day." But no, he remembered that he'd swiped his sister's chocolate. So he opened his eyes and decided he'd try a different tactic. He went downstairs to the nativity scene by the family's Christmas tree, checked over his shoulder just to make sure no one was watching, and then he slipped Mary into his pocket. Back upstairs, he knelt by his bed again and began, "Dear Jesus, if you want to see your mum anytime soon, make sure that Xbox gets here." What are you hoping for Christmas? It's not just the children who love Christmas presents. I can assure you that this big kid, for one, cannot wait to see what Santa has for him this year. Christmas is about gifts, but not just the gifts that we give each other. At the heart of Christmas, the very reason for it all, is another gift, a far greater gift, a gift from God to our world. It is the Christmas present. The Apostle John explains it in that sentence at the beginning of our reading. It's at the bottom of page 8 in the John's Gospels on our chairs. I'd be grateful if we took that up. Page 8. The theologian Martin Luther called this verse the whole Bible in miniature. So if, like me, you appreciate a bit of a shortcut, then listen up. John chapter 3, verse 16. "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him, trusts in him, should not perish, but have eternal life." Three simple but surprising things this sentence tells us about God and about his Christmas gift. First, God loves. Second, God gives. And third, God saves. The first surprise is that God loves. And the reason it is such a surprise is because of who God loves. Did you see it? Verse 16, "For God so loved the world." God loves our world. Is that a surprise to you? It's a surprise to me. Do you find our world very lovable? The families and friends of Jack Merritt and Saskia Jones spend this Christmas without them because of what happened just a few meters away from here, just over a week ago, on London Bridge. Do you find that very lovable? Just last Thursday, a 23-year-old woman was set on fire on her way to court in Delhi because she dared to testify against her rapists. She suffered 90% burns and died from cardiac arrest on Friday. Do you find that very lovable? This year marks the 25th anniversary of the 100-day period in Rwanda where 800,000 people were slaughtered simply because they belonged to the wrong ethnic group. Do you find that very lovable? But notice what the verse says. It is extraordinary. It says, God loved the world. It doesn't say God loved some of the world or the good people in the world. It just says God loves the world, the whole shebang. It is incredible. God is a God who loves this world. And thank God that he does. You see, it's easy to talk about them out there. But when you do that and point the finger, the problem is you've got so many fingers pointing back. Last century, the editors of the Times invited people to write an answer to the question, what is wrong with this world? The author G.K. Chesterton sent in his response, it was very short, "Dear Sir, I am. Yours, G.K. Chesterton." And of course, he was right. The problem isn't out there, it's in here. Sure, I can put up a good show in front of you now, but if you could see what God sees, if you could see into the hidden corners of my heart, if you knew the people I've hurt, if you knew the things that I've done that can't be undone, if you knew me like God knows me, well, you'd know that I'm not all that lovable. What about you? That God loves me is extraordinary. That God loves you is extraordinary. That's the first surprise. God loves. The second surprise is the extent of his love. Love measured by the cost of the gift he's given. God loves and God gives. Verse 16 again. God so loved the world, he loved the world in such a way that he gave his only Son. The Christmas gift is the gift of God's Son to our world. We've been celebrating it in our carols, Silent Night, Holy Night, Son of God, Love's Pure Light. But I think there's just a bit of a risk in all of our singing that we're sentimental about the gift, that we coo and we leave it all at the level of the nativity play. So Mary and Joseph there with their tea towels on heads and bed sheets for clothes and looking adoringly at a baby doll, Jesus. Yes, Jesus was a baby sleeping in the manger, but he didn't stay there. He grew up and he was the man on the cross who was brutally crucified. And it was no accident. It was the very reason why God gave him to this world. Who do you think killed Jesus? It's a question I sometimes ask people when I'm trying to explain the Christian faith. What would you say? When I ask, some people say it was Pontius Pilate. Others say the religious leaders. Others say we did because of our sin. And yes, all those answers are right. They're right to a point. But they're not actually the ultimate answer the Bible gives as to who killed Jesus. The Bible's answer is that in the end, the person who really killed Jesus was God. You see, God's gift to the world isn't a toy wrapped up in a box. God's gift was his only Son nailed to a cross for us. I've got three children, 5, 3, and 1 year old. And there is nobody and nothing that I would give them over to death for. What would possess God to do that? Is he mad? Is God sick? No, he did it because he loves us. He loves you. He did it because it was the way, and in fact, the only way that we could be saved. God loves, God gives, and God saves. Please look with me again to the verse. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. One of the really refreshing things about the Bible is that the writers didn't get the memo about not offending people. We have to be so careful today, don't we, about offending each other. We're doing it all the time, even by accident. But the Bible isn't worried about doing that kind of thing, especially when the truth is on the line. And the Bible tells us that it is possible to perish. And it doesn't mean just temporary death. It means an eternal perishing. The Bible is telling us that it is possible to die and to come face to face with God, our Creator, on the judgment day And for him to send us out of his presence forever, to find us guilty, to have us experience his just indignation against us for eternity. It's only what we deserve. Why should he let us into his heaven when we've spent our whole lives ignoring him? But here is the huge surprise. That is not what God wants for us. You see, when somebody does me wrong, when they mistreat me, I want nothing more than to get justice, to see them get what they deserve. But God is not like that. God loves his enemies. He doesn't want to give us what we deserve. He doesn't want us to perish. And just in case we missed it, John tells us in the next verse, verse 17, the same thing in reverse. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. How was that achieved? When Jesus was crucified on the cross, he willingly took on himself the just punishment I deserve and you deserve for all the wrong that we've done in our lives. The Son of God, who was without sin, received the punishment for the sins of the whole world so that I and you can be freely and fully forgiven. That is the measure of God's love for you. That's the aim of God's gift. It was purposed in saving the world. God's love isn't just an empty best wishes, not a tacky, cheap Christmas card. Dear world, I love you. No, God says, I see the devastation that you're in. I see your plight. And I've given my only Son to save you from that plight. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world would be saved, rescued through him. So if some are condemned, then whose fault is it? You might have gathered that I didn't grow up in this country. I grew up in a place called Australia. And I can tell you that Christmas in Australia is very different. All the stereotypes are true. Christmas uniform is singlets, shorts, and thongs, which, to be clear, are flip-flops. Prawns on the Barbie. We've even got our own excruciatingly cheesy version of Jingle Bells. Dashing through the bush in a rusty Holden ute. That's a pickup truck. Engine's getting hot. We dodge the kangaroos. You can imagine the rest. You know, the kids and Uncle Bruce are swimming in there, yeah, and so on. YouTube it. It'll be 5 minutes of your life you'll never get back. Imagine for a moment that you find yourself in Australia at Christmas next year. When in Rome and all that, so you go down to the beach, to Bondi, with thousands of others for a Christmas swim. Sun is shining, the water is glistening, the waves are cascading over and over you like a waterfall of crisp champagne. It's bliss, God's own country. After a while of this, you turn and you get ready to swim back to shore. Only thing is, you bob up and, well, the beach is somehow further away than when you remembered it. Actually, a lot further away. In fact, you are so far out that you look over your shoulder to New Zealand just to check that isn't closer and that you might swim to safety there. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. You need a rescuer. Thank God that the surf lifesavers still operate on Bondi on Christmas Day. What do you do when Shane, that will be his name, when Shane swims up on his board and asks you if you need a bit of help? You'd be mad, wouldn't you? You'd be mad if you said, nothing to see here, thank you very much. I'm fine, thank you. That was an English accent, by the way. No. You'd let him haul you up on his board and you'd feel that huge sense of relief. And you'd hold on all the way as he paddled you until you felt your feet touch the sand. God says, we are perishing. And God gave his Son to rescue us, to be our savior. Can you imagine anything so absurd as to say to God, nothing to see here, I'm fine, thanks? What do you think God thinks of such a response? Wouldn't he say, why do you think I bothered sending my son to die if you were okay? So whose fault is it if someone isn't saved? Well, as we close, I wonder if you'd look with me to verse 18, which makes it crystal clear. That's at the very bottom of page 8. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in, trusted in, the name of the only Son of God. It depends on who you've got your trust in. Who are you trusting for eternity? I remember very clearly as a 15-year-old understanding this truth for the very first time. I understood what terrible trouble I was in. I understood the gift that God had given me. And that day, I gave up on trusting myself for eternity, and I turned my trust into Jesus. And what a relief it was. It was such a thrill to know that by simply turning my trust from myself and onto Jesus, I could be sure from that moment on that I would not perish, that I had eternal life. Can I tell you, it is a wonderful thing to know where you're going for eternity. The greatest Christmas gift is the one that God has already given us. He's given you. The gift is the Son who died for us. Now, there'll be many here tonight who have received that gift. Praise God for that. Many others will need to do more thinking and exploring. William spoke about the Christianity Explored course. I commend it to you. But there'll be some here who know that this is true. You know it's true. But year after year, you've been leaving God's gift unopened under the tree, as it were. Well, if that's you, my prayer has been that this year will be different, that this year you'll take up his gift, that you'll turn your trust away from yourself for eternity, and turn your trust onto Jesus. That you'll know the relief, you'll know the thrill that comes from trusting in the Lord Jesus and having the forgiveness of your sins. You'll know that every Christmas from now on will be one where God's extraordinary love for you isn't just a theory, but a reality in your heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him, trusts in him, will not perish, but have eternal life. Amen.